We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Bob Costas, as previously advertised, joining us for a couple of minutes. I can't thank you enough for giving us some time. And I know already that it's a busy day for you. I've seen you twice on CNN.
Yeah, twice on CNN and a bunch of times on MLBN and a few other stops along the way. And this is sadly becoming too regular a thing. 10 Hall of Famers in the last 9 months, beginning with Al Kaline last April. And when you talk about Hank Aaron, it's not just that he's elite among the elite. He's a Mount Rushmore player. That's obvious. But when you factor in the social significance, then this leaps from the sports pages onto the front pages. I'm sure. I haven't seen tomorrow's or today's, where you are, New York Times yet, but I wouldn't be at all surprised if it's above the fold on the first page.
Yeah, and I don't think there'd be too much argument about that. The pressure of chasing the Bambino, one thing. Then with all of the racism and the hate and the evil, with the death threats thrown his way, him and his family, off the field and even on the field. God knows, I mean, there wasn't the kind of security back then. Somebody could have gotten into Atlanta Fulton County Stadium or Milwaukee County Stadium with a gun, God forbid. I mean, and yet he handled all the demons facing him with grace and dignity and class on the field and off. He had a mission, he had a goal, he had a destination, and he reached it, and he reached it with dignity.
He absolutely did. Just think of the way he rounded the bases on home run number 715. The place is going crazy. Some fans run out on the field, and they're pounding him on the back between second and third. The Dodger players want to shake hands with him or high-five him as he goes around the bases, and yet Hank runs that out the same way as if it was home run number 15 or 115 as opposed to 715. And you think of players today who will self-celebrate the most minor and forgettable of achievements. And here's a guy who has broken what then would have been the most revered record in all of sports and faced all that pressure, and he runs around the bases the same way he always did. The achievement spoke for itself. He was a man of great grace, and this word is thrown around so much in sports, and sometimes it applies, sometimes it doesn't, but he personified class. And what you mentioned earlier, Steve, I really believe that what really heightened Hank's resolve to break Ruth's record was the racism he faced. Mm-hmm. He wrote about this in his autobiography, and I'm paraphrasing here, but he said, really, all the racism, everyone who ever called me the N-word, every black person in America who had to hear the N-word, for Jackie Robinson, who had passed away only 2 years before Hank broke the record, for Jackie Robinson and everyone else, that is what I am doing this for. That's what he felt. I really don't think that the glory of achieving the record was as important to him as what breaking that record under those circumstances meant in terms of principle. I really think that that drove him more than baseball glory did.
Can you tell the story, and it's a great story, that I heard you say earlier today, about his dad and about getting up on a tree to look out over what was going to be for him a field of dreams.
Yeah, it's poignant about his dad. Hank obviously loved his dad, and he was a good man, but he had been beaten down by the realities of the Jim Crow South. And so when Hank mused to him, as we all did with our dads about one thing or another, as a little boy, he said, "I want to be a pilot." And his dad said, "Ain't no black pilots." And then a bit later, he said, "I want to be a Major League Baseball player." "Ain't no black baseball players, Major League players," his dad meant. "Ain't no black Major League players." And think of how discouraging that must have been to a young man. And his dad was only trying, I guess, to lay out what he saw as the harsh realities. Now, fast forward a few years. Hank is 13 years old when Jackie Robinson breaks in with the Brooklyn Dodgers. A year or two after that, the Dodgers are barnstorming from spring training in Florida up north to Brooklyn. Lots of teams did that in those days. And so they played exhibition games in various cities on their way up north. So they're playing in a ballpark near where Hank grew up in Mobile, Alabama. And Hank goes to the game. And if he had been able to get in, I'm not even sure if blacks were allowed into the ballpark at all. But if they were, I'll have to check on this, but if they were, they would have had to have sat in a segregated area. But in any case, it was a moot point because Hank didn't have the quarter or 50 cents, whatever it would have been, to get into the ballpark. And so he climbed a tree out beyond the right field fence that was high enough that it overlooked the fence and he could see the field. Not so much to see the game in his recollection, but to see Jackie Robinson, and by then Roy Campanella may have been with them and others, but primarily Jackie Robinson, and to say to himself, "My dad was wrong. Maybe I can play in the major leagues."
The first time, and we're, of course, the voice familiar to sports fans and non-sports fans all across America with Bob Costas for just a few more minutes. When I was a kid, the first time, Bob, that I heard wrist hitter was with Ernie Banks and Hank Aaron, because in his prime, he was, what, 6 feet, 180, wiry, certainly not muscle-bound, certainly not known as a home run hitter like Willie Mays. And yet, he and Ernie Banks hitting the ball out of the ballpark. And maybe the ballpark that Hank Aaron, the ballparks that Hank Aaron played in might have had something to do with that. I don't think he hit moonshots. He hit enough fly balls that got out of Atlanta Fulton County Stadium, Milwaukee County Stadium, and they were hitters' ballparks. So maybe that did help also. Where Mays was playing at the Polo Grounds here in New York, and then eventually Candlestick Park, and they were not hitters' parks at all.
Yeah, if you want to talk about it strictly from a baseball standpoint, Willie also missed nearly 2 years, year and a half, whatever it was, in the military early in his career. He winds up with 660 home runs. Willie Mays is one of the greatest all-around players. You can make an argument the greatest all-around player in baseball history. So take your pick. I have always regarded, discounting steroid-era guys, and with all due respect to people like Ken Griffey Jr. or now Mike Trout, I've always regarded Hank Aaron and Willie Mays as the two greatest living players, and certainly the two greatest players whose careers began in the second half of the 20th century. So from a baseball standpoint, take your pick. But what Hank faced, as it became clear that he, not Willie, would be the guy who would have a shot to pass Babe Ruth, what he faced becomes more important than the particulars of ballparks and whatnot. There's no doubt that Atlanta's Fulton County Stadium was a hitter's paradise. There's also no doubt that as he got closer to it and as the record was within sight, and facing all the hatred, he actually changed his approach. He was trying to hit home runs late in his career. Early in his career, home runs just naturally evolved out of being a great line drive hitter. And he often said, it doesn't make any difference if you hit it 360 and the face fence is 350, or if you hit it 460. Mm-hmm. It counts for the same.
Sure.
He didn't hit tape measure home runs like Mickey Mantle or Reggie Jackson later. He was essentially a line drive hitter, like you said, a wrist hitter, but became more of a true home run hitter late in his career because that was his specific objective by then.
Nobody ever really talks about his defense. Now, he didn't have the arm of a Roberto Clemente, but he, in his prime, knew how to play right field.
Oh, he was a very fine right fielder. He didn't like, Joe Torre said this, he didn't like to play center field, and mostly he played right, but occasionally the circumstances indicated that he had to play center field. The Braves needed him there. And according to Joe, he was never comfortable there, but he was an excellent right fielder, as great as Roberto Clemente, as great as Al Kaline in right field. No, probably not, but certainly well above average.
Would you say there was a period after baseball in which he was bitter at looking back with what he had to endure, and that baseball still had some issues with minorities and Black Americans?
Yes, no question about it. I don't think it ever became personal bitterness. He was bitter at the circumstances and at the realities that he faced and what he saw facing Black America in general. But as a person, Garen was one of the nicest, most genuinely humble and decent people I've ever encountered in any walk of life. So he was not bitter on a personal level. If you spent any time around him, you would know just what a wonderful man he was. And so when you hear all of the appreciations and tributes in the aftermath of his death, these are not just empty platitudes. It really was true. He was a great, great player, and he was a genuinely great man.
Before I let you go, I also heard you relate so eloquently so. And yes, there were a number of people, and racist, let's be honest, because he was Black. They didn't want him to surpass Babe Ruth, the white ball player. And yet there were millions of white Americans rooting for him. And you brought up an interesting comparison. A lot of baseball fans were unhappy when Roger Maris, a white player, broke the single season record of Babe Ruth with a 61-61. Interesting.
Yeah, and that was more just an understandable baseball thing and a generational thing. In 1961, people who saw Babe Ruth play and many of the people who covered him were in the prime of their lives. And so they recalled Babe as an idol of their youth, and nobody likes to see a youthful idol eclipsed. And on top of that, that home run race that year was between Maris and Mickey Mantle. And while Roger Maris was a terrific player who in a kind of special way deserved some Hall of Fame consideration, two-time MVP, played on 7 pennant winners, terrific right fielder, esteemed teammate, etc., etc. But nobody could argue that he was as good a player as Mickey Mantle. So a lot of people said, look, if anybody's going to break this record, it should be Mantle. He's a greater all-round player, which was true. But those were baseball quibbles and little generational things. You know, my dad was always telling me that Joe DiMaggio was better than Willie Mays. I think that's a generational thing. You know, that was his era. And Willie Mays and Mickey Mantle were mine, and that's fine. That's a beautiful part of sports. But nobody could say that by the mid-late 60s and in the 70s when he closed in on Ruth, nobody could say that Hank Aaron wasn't a top-of-the-list Hall of Famer, one of the greatest players of all time. So there's only one reason to be resistant to Hank Aaron eclipsing Babe Ruth.
Beautifully said. And you mentioned about all the Hall of Famers in 2020. That passed away here in 2021. We're 10 seconds into the year, and Tommy Lasorda and Don Sutton and now Hank Aaron. Let me ask you before I let you go.
Sure.
Are we going to have 162 games this season? Are we going to have a season?
Yeah, I don't have a crystal ball. I sure hope so. But, you know, we would have thought, because we think perhaps illogically that when the calendar flips, everything changes. But we would have thought as they played a 60-game season in 2020, well, it'll be different in 2021. But now we know that statistically, the pandemic, even though the vaccine gives us light at the end of the tunnel, mm-hmm. for now, the pandemic is worse than it has ever been yeah. in terms of numbers of cases and numbers of fatalities on a daily basis. So, you know, we can make our plans.
And there's not enough vaccines to go around.
That's right. That's right. At least not yet. So is it entirely possible that they won't be able to play 162? Yeah, I think you have to consider that as a possibility.
I always love it. And to some degree, when you hear that owners in Major League Baseball, because of last year, they lost money. I'm always throwing out they lost profits. They made something, but not as much money as they would have made with parking and concessions and merchandise and fans in the stands with the beer and the peanuts and the hot dogs. So I always contend that they still made some money last year, but not as much because of, obviously, the cardboard cutouts don't have checking accounts.
Well, in baseball, though, game day receipts make up, generally speaking, it's not true of every team to the mm-hmm. same extent, but around 45-50% of total revenues. So I actually believe you could do a lot with the books, but mm-hmm. on a yearly basis for 2020, most teams did in fact lose money. They didn't lose as much as they would have if they hadn't been able to get a postseason in, because the bulk of the network money, which is equally shared, the bulk of the network money comes from the postseason. So they were anxious to get that in, and they did. And I'm not sure how each team is going to work out its regional mm-hmm. network situation. Mm-hmm. Maybe they're doing make goods or rolling it over for an extra year. But if you only play 60 out of 162 games mm-hmm. and your games are on Fox Sports East or Fox Sports Midwest or whatever mm-hmm. it is, mm-hmm. then you're only collecting that fraction of 162. So they took a hit. There's no doubt about it. On the other hand, on the list of people that we need to be concerned about, baseball owners are very far down that list.
Right. Bob, I'll let you go. I know it's been a long day for you, and I can't thank you enough, as always, once again, for giving us a couple of minutes. An absolute pleasure to have you on. And do take care of yourself. Be safe and sound and healthy. And I look forward to listening to you and watching you on TV as well.
Thanks, Steve. Always a pleasure to schmooze with you, even in the aftermath of what seems to be one after another, one sad bit of news after another.
Yeah, next time, hopefully it'll be a lot better. Do take care.
Yeah, I sure hope so. All right, Steve, take care. Bye.
Yeah, you too. Bye-bye. Bob Costas, we thank him very much.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!